Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. Got a special guest with me today.
Hello.
Jen Brewer is with me, and we're going to have a great time this week diving into the Word of God. I want to say thank you for the grace yesterday. Obviously, we didn't do a Good Morning Live yesterday. It was my oldest, Jeremiah, who turned 10 yesterday, and they still had school. Today's their actually last day of school. So we wanted to do something a little bit special for him. So I just took him to breakfast and wouldn't have made it back in time to do that. So you got to keep priorities, priorities.
That's right.
And so we had a good time at breakfast yesterday. And anyway, so thanks for the grace in doing that. But how was your weekend, Jen?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah, got a lot of projects done around the house. You know, I help facilitate, you know, how it is when your husband's home. So it's, you know, I have a lot of to do. And so we got a lot done. So looking forward to this next weekend as well.
Okay. You got special plans then? No. Okay. Just life in general, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we had an amazing weekend here at Hope City Church. We continued our message series on Pentecost. Mm-hmm. And so God's been moving all over that. So we're very excited to be bringing that word and challenging people to return back to the foundations of Pentecost and bring revival back into your heart and into your spirit. And I think the most challenging thing from Sunday was not waiting for the church to bring revival or Pentecost.
Yes.
And just as a pastor, you hear that so much of, oh, we want the spirit to move in our services. And of course, we do want that. It's not that we don't want that, but you hear that from people so much of that's what they're waiting for the church to bring it or the church to have it.
Right.
But what we discovered in this is that we looked at the woman with the they were in a drought. Remember, the prophet Elijah was sent to her. And as long as there was the plan was that she would use the last oil she had, bake a cake for her son. They were going to eat it. And then he was going to die because that's all they had. But God performed a miracle and supernaturally brought oil and substance to them. But the lesson there was is that often oil was a symbolization of the Holy Spirit. And as long as there was oil in the house, the next generation was pure.
Yes.
And that they didn't wait for the church to have revival.
Come on.
Their house had revival.
Yes.
And then as long as we have the Holy Spirit in our home,
come on,
the next generation is secure. So anyway, we were looking at running back to Pentecost, not waiting for a new one. Mm-hmm. Because God already gave one.
Right.
And as long as we start it in our home, stop waiting for the church to do it anyway.
Yeah,
so I didn't mean to review all of that.
Oh, no, but
I keep thinking about that. And I know some of you have chatted in and text about that. So, and those impacted people. So anyway, it was a great weekend at Hope City Church. And I want to say thank you for everyone who gave last week in our share-a-thon. As you can see, all the network is back up and working. We are excited to get that Samsung app, which again is a miraculous testimony in $10,500 given just for that app alone. And we're incredibly grateful for that. But it'll take a little bit of time to get that developed and to be released on Samsung. But as soon as it is, we will certainly let you know.
Exciting.
Yeah,
it's
exciting. Exciting times to be alive,
yes.
Which is what we want to get into today.
Yes.
Why it's an exciting time to be alive. And as you've been hanging around these lives a little bit, you know, we like to theme, if you will, our weeks around a thought or a topic. And it doesn't always happen that way, but I try to do that just because it helps in my brain, at least to keep the thought process going. And so I had asked Jen if she would come on with me this week. And I know one of the things that are close to your heart is looking at end time prophecy.
Yes.
Why do you think that is for you?
For me, I think actually it stemmed from as a little girl, I used to have a lot of dreams about the rapture. Some, you know, wake up and you know, feel afraid of this, just, you know, it was being taught in youth group and things like that, and just that unknown. But then there, I had a lot of dreams that even to this day, I carry close to my heart of just, you know, what that looks like. And I believe even as a young girl, God was, I don't know, preparing me. And it just, ever since then, I feel like it's a word that we all need to hear. Oh, look at the four deer. Sorry. I just seen four deer just leap across the property. So
I didn't see him. So we'll see.
A little distracting, but anyway. So in that, and I think there's a lot of just mystery and unknown that kind of just is associated with that. And a lot of questions, and it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. A lot of churches don't talk about that because I think of the mystery and surrounds that.
Well, I think what's funny about this whole topic of end times and the rapture of the church and all of that is, you know, there's a, and it's kind of died down now, but really heavily in 2020 and stuff, there was that great ex-evangelical movement on social media platforms and all of that. And one of the things that started to come out from that is people saying that they had trauma from like the Left Behind movie series and the movies about the rapture of the church and all of that stuff, because it was dramatic, I guess, in a way. But I don't know. I just kind of always laughed at that because I feel like that was the warning from God is, hey, be sober minded, be diligent. Like this is,
it's real.
This is big. Yeah. And this is real. Yeah. So,
and it will happen.
Yeah. So I think it just was kind of funny that, you know, as when people walk away from the church, they look back at the topic of the rapture and the rapture of the church and the end times. And they're like, oh, I can't even believe we talked about that. That was so traumatic. Yeah. But really, I feel like that was a part of Jesus's, I mean, again, I always tell people, I didn't write it. He said it. And most of what we discuss in the rapture, and of course, we look at Revelation, which was from John, but Jesus, the words in red, talk a lot about the rapture of the church and what all that looks like. So Jesus said it, not me. And I'm not the one who said men's hearts will fail them for fear. Jesus said those things. So I think it's funny that, you know, when people walk away, it's like, well, what do you do with the rapture, and what do you do with end times, and how do you frame all of that in a post-Christian mindset? Well, you just say it was trauma, and you just say that it was, you know, tried to scare hell out of you. And I think if it scares hell out of you, that's a great thing.
Exactly.
Well, good morning, Sue. Good morning, Paula. Good to be with you. If you're watching online, we want to know. I know there's a lot of viewers watching us today. Chat in. Let me know where you're watching from, and we just love to say good morning to you. So, the revelation of that John received on the island of Patmos, talking about the end times. And I always like to frame this as we discuss these things. It's not meant to cause people to live in
fear. No.
It is meant to cause people to live ready, right? There's two different things there. Not to live in fear, but to live ready.
Prepared.
Yeah.
Not in the dark about the things that we see today that are happening or the things that may, that are to come. But it's, I believe it's the word for now, you know, where we find ourselves in, and a lot of the, what we're seeing on the news and things like that. It's when there's a lot of unknowns, Revelation makes it known.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I think to me personally, and you may have a different opinion of this, knowing what the Bible says about the end times, knowing where it says we're going, brings me peace.
Yes.
When you see world events unfolding, you know, chaos and all of the stuff that happens in our world, because it's like, oh, well, that's a symptom of where we're going. That Jesus talked about that. It's not a surprise to him. Right. He's not in heaven going, oh, no, what's happening on earth? He said, this is what you're going to see.
Right.
This is what it's going to look like. Don't be alarmed.
Right.
Stay in faith, stay in peace. So to me, understanding what the word of God says about the rapture, understanding what it says about the end times, brings me peace now, because it's like, okay, that's expected. That's supposed to be. You know, I guess it's even like if you're going through any type of medical thing or whatever, it's like when the doctor says, here are the symptoms that are going to, that, you know, accompany whatever you're walking through. It's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know what's happening now, right? So the book of Revelation is not just about the end, right? It's about living right now. He didn't wait to release this book, you know, through prophets and now, you know, speaking of the end, he released it through John so that the New Testament church would have this guide and roadmap in moving forward.
And it brings us, like you said, peace. And, you know, I remember this movie from, I think it was like the 70s, but it, you know, it was really gory. And as, like I said, you know, as a young child, it added a lot of like gore and fright and things like that to it. But, you know, after walking with the Lord for all these years and, you know, reading through Revelation, it is very, like you said, it should bring peace. It should take you to a place of, you know, I understand the times and the seasons that we live in, but, you know, I also see what's on the other side of this.
Yeah.
And it does, it brings, for me, you know, I get very excited because I know all these things are soon to pass away,
yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it should be comforting. And the very first verse in Revelation says, you know, about the blessing that comes for those that read that book. And, you know, so it's studying it and reading it and understanding it, the blessing attached.
Yeah. And, you know, even, you know, again, I know you talked about like the blood and the gore that are in some of them, especially early End Days movies. But, you know, when you said that, I thought of, you know, things that we have witnessed as a society, like 9/11 yes. and the towers falling, or, you know, you see the news reports of war and what's happening over in Gaza and the trauma. Those things are staggering and they're very gory.
Yes.
And I think especially as Americans and American Christians, we can have a tendency to just bury our head in the plushness of our lives and pretend like all of that isn't happening and isn't going on and doesn't exist.
And it's not affecting us directly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, well, let's just like, even after, you know, 9/11, the news, you know, stations were told don't show the towers falling anymore. It brings, you know, anxiety to people. It's, but that was the reality of what happened. And I think sometimes we've been too comforted and not really realizing what is happening around the world and around the globe. And I'm not saying that we need to dwell there. And hey, good morning, Tracy. Good morning, Denise. Good to see you guys today. But I think a good, healthy knowledge of what the Bible says is coming, what is happening, is good for the believer.
Amen.
So you ready to jump into a little bit of that?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So we're going to look a little bit at the book of Revelation. And if you are a new believer or you're like, hey, I've just started in this thing and I don't know, that book of Revelation seems weird and it is, right? let's just be honest, it really is. And what's cool about this is John, and he's been exiled. He's on the island of Patmos because of his faith. And we see that in Revelations 1:10. And I'm just going to give you a lot of scriptures. You can look them up later if you want to. But and he begins to get these visions from God about the end times. Mm-hmm. And it actually says things that were, are, and are to come. Mm-hmm. And some of what seems chaotic in scripture, I think, is masked for purposes. But I think some of it is masked because he is trying to put words to things that he's never seen before.
Right.
Like there's a verse of scripture that talks about birds with fire coming out of their mouth and falling from the sky. And again, this is all open for interpretation, but I know many theologians say, well, that probably was a picture of war jets and bombings. Mm-hmm. But now you go back to John's day, there would have been no context for, oh, well, that's a airplane or that's a military aircraft or that's, you know, a bomb or whatever. Mm-hmm. There would have been no context. So for somebody like John, the only context he could write about was it looked like a bird with fire coming out of it, falling from the sky. Mm-hmm. So it, again, I try not to say and be your own interpreter of all of it because you got to be really careful of that. Mm-hmm. What I'm just saying is in some of the things, I think as we approach it, we will see more and more clarity. Like, oh, that's what
that meant.
That's looks
what
like. Even to look at things like the mark of the beast, where it says every person would take a mark. And, you know, in John's day, well, you know, they can't buy or they can't sell without taking that mark. That would have been something that would have been, how does that even happen?
Right.
You read news reports now, they are actively... even Elon Musk is working on an implant that you can put into the brain that helps your thought patterns and you can actually communicate through that chip into your phone. You can think it and it'll pull it up.
Yep.
And I'm just going to be honest with you. I was I was yesterday somewhere and I dropped my phone again and I broke the little thing back here that covers the camera thing. And I, here's what I thought to myself. I thought, you know, if there was some type of like, and I've only seen it from like sci-fi things, but you know, where it was like embedded and it came up like a laser and you can just touch it.
Oh yeah.
I would 100% be on.
Oh yeah.
100%.
You're going to drop it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because how many times, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm not saying that I would. I'm just saying is where we are as a culture and a society in John's day, these things would have been unheard of.
Right.
But here we are.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? That would solve. I would never lose my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could steal my identity.
Right.
You know, my phone is embedded. Mm-hmm. It's all there and it solves problems.
Yeah. And just to think, when I think back 20 years ago, you know, here we are holding, you know, like this computer. I mean, this is everything that we would have used on big, you know, computers 20 years ago. And we were carrying it around. It's in our pockets and we have information available to us at any given moment at our fingertips. And, you know, it even talks about that in the last days of you know, the information and, you know, how the gospel message is kind of, it's gone out, you know, to the four corners of the earth. And 20, 30, 40 years ago, how can that even happen? How does that even, like you said, John's day, what does that even look like?
Yeah.
You see it, you can see this happening and the relevance of all that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's all at your,
And again, and I know we're just kind of reviewing here with a lot of this stuff, but I think it's good. But because you can even think about, you know, it says that in the end days, knowledge will be increased and men will run to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, then you have the introduction of the motor car back. And it was like, okay, this is end times.
Yeah, this is end times. It's happening.
Yeah, but again, move on 100 years from then. And now how we can move around the world with jets and all of that. But even where it talks about there's, and we're not getting into that right here today, but there's a part in Revelation that talks about the two witnesses that come in the end and the eyes of the world will be watching. Again, in John's day,
how does that even happen?
How could the eyes of the world see? You know, I mean, the whole, now through technology, through media, through social media, you know, all of that.
All it takes is for one person to
with
record
a cell phone.
Yes. And it's everywhere. It's news, it's, you know, feeds, it's everywhere. So
and what's even how that's advanced is, you know, you go back 10, 15 years, it would have taken a news agency with major cameras to broadcast it. Now, most news is traveling on social media before news outlets can even happen. Like, if there's a current event that happens, I'll be honest, most of the times I'm not running to log into my local news station.
Yeah.
I'm going to TikTok or I'm going to Instagram to find out what's happening.
Yep. There's already people talking about it. It's already made headlines.
Yep. So how we're even getting. So anyway, I just say all that to say is a lot of times, in Revelation, you will see a lot that seems, well, that's just strange. But it's John trying to give expression in his culture of what it would be looking like. And again, let me just say this as we dive into this. But I am certainly not saying, sitting here today saying that I know that Jesus is coming back today. I can't tell you that. The Bible says that no man knows the day
or the hour,
but it says that we would know
the season
that he would come. Mm-hmm. So he gives what the world will look like. But what I do know is every generation, you know, I think back to my mom, you know, and now she went home to be with the Lord early, but she should still be with us. But she was convinced that God was coming back in her generation.
Yep.
Well, she's already there.
Mm-hmm.
But every generation has thought, well, this is it.
Right.
We got a horse and buggy. Look how quick we're getting places,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
We have electricity. It changed everything. But all that I do know is whether he comes in our generation or not, we are at least one generation closer.
Yes.
So let's live
like
it is.
Yep. Let's live like it's imminent. It's happening. It can happen at any moment.
Yep. Because things are lining up.
Yes.
I did an interview with a gentleman, and I terribly apologize for forgetting his name now, but he talked about the red heifers. And you can go back and watch that on the James Epperly show. But that are part of the end time prophecy is that these red heifers would be sacrificed and they had to be without spot and blemish and how there were seven red heifers that were taken back into Israel few of them were disqualified because they had some variance on them, but there are still three red heifers. And again, you might think you can go back and watch the whole revelation of that, but this was the first time in history that three purebred, spotless, qualified from the Jewish priest to be sacrifices, which outlines in the first time that they've ever been back in Israel. And that's happening now. So again, there are a lot of things that play into us understanding that we very well may be the generation that sees the return of Christ.
And it's hard to watch any given news, cast or, news feed or whatever without seeing, it says, Israel is we're to watch Israel, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you see the things that are happening over there and in that region and in that land, it's just, I think sometimes 4 years ago, I thought, oh my, this is so close. It's so imminent. It's got to happen. You know, when you see countries invading other countries, it's, it's all of these pieces are just aligning up. And I thought for certainly, four years ago, will we even be here, 12 months from now? And it's just, of course we still are, but it's in every season and every, it's okay. What was I thinking, 4 years ago? It's even closer now, So, we shouldn't, when we look at the things that are happening in that region of the world, we pray, we stand with Israel. That's what we're commanded to do. But we also, I can't help but get excited inside and just, okay, he's coming. And, it sparks this, and it should spark this. People need to be ready.
Yeah.
The gospel message needs to be heard. It needs to get out. There's not a lot of time left. Yeah. It ignites that in me, so.
Something you taught me, and if you could share it a few years ago, is that end time prophecy really relates to what is happening and with the current events of Israel and not necessarily the world. So share that, because when you shared that with me, it kind of reframed, because again, I'm thinking America is their circumference of the whole world. It's all about America, and what's happening. But really, a lot of it has to, go ahead and share that.
Yeah, I mean, even from Genesis 1:1, you look throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it really is about Israel. It's about God's chosen people, that chosen nation, and everything, as you walk through the Old Testament and his the mercy and the grace and just all of everything that happened was in context of that region. And even like we talked about Sunday, it was, the Gentile being able to, that ministry to the Gentiles happened after the fact, it was really geared toward the Israel and those people. But, it even talks about in the Bible that's the, where it talks about the olive tree and when we see these things happen, but our eyes are to be in that region to those people. And it talks about that the generation will not pass away before they see the second coming. So we look at, when did Israel become a nation and things of that nature. So, and it really is about dealing with that nation, even what happens during the tribulation and things, it's God's dealing with Israel.
Yeah. So I remember in context of that, when you were sharing that with me, I think it was right around the time that Israel started coming into war and the whole Gaza Strip thing that's still going on right now. And what you said about that is, again, we could look around as Americans and say, well, we're not in war, so this isn't the end. But a lot of these prophetic events doesn't really have much to do with America. They have to do with Israel. So be careful that you don't just brush off and say, well, I don't see anything here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Therefore, we're not in end times, because God's prophetic calendar has to do with what's happening in the life of Israel.
Yes.
And somebody just showed me just even yesterday that Gaza, obviously they've been at war over the Gaza Strip, and just the ruin and
the destruction,
the buildings that, were just precious that are just destroyed. Mm-hmm. Again, that's where we sometimes as first world American people can fall into a trap, because, well, Walmart's still open, you know.
And it's, you know, it's easy to keep blinders on because it's like, you know, that doesn't, that's not touching me and my world, you know. So, you know, and it's, you know, it's sad when you see all the pictures and, oh, that's just awful and things like that. But it does have to do with us.
Yes.
And, you know, to just brush that off and just say, oh, you know, that's happening almost on the other side of the world. You know, I'm still getting up and I'm doing, you know, having my cup of coffee in the morning. But, you know, it, the scriptures even talk about the destruction and the desolation and, you know, what that looks like for those people in times of war. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it play out before our very eyes. And, you know, we should not be so dismissive of what's happening.
Absolutely.
You know, it's God is literally, you know, it's in our face, in the forefront of what's happening. And so we see these things, these prophecies, they are coming to fruition. They're coming to pass right before. And I just love that.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, at any time in history that we are the generation that gets to see these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're through technology, we're able to see what is happening live.
Yeah. And even just in regards to like the Antichrist who comes again, he will make peace with the whole Israel.
Yes.
And, you know, it's that region.
Yes.
It's that region.
Yes.
So let's be careful as first world people that we don't push off. Keep your eyes on Israel.
Yes.
Cheryl just said for the last 2 weeks, she keeps hearing, are you ready?
Mm.
We are not to be scared. We are to be prepared.
Amen.
So that's are good. You ready? And that's, you know, what we're wanting to get people to be prepared, to be ready.
Yes.
So let's just dive into a little bit of this today. I want to say in just a few minutes, if you are watching us on the Pioneer Channel, you are going to move on at 8:30 to Glory Road with Candace Smithyman. It's a wonderful programmer. So we want to bid farewell to you as you get ready to go over to that program. You can continue to watch us if you hop over to any of our social media platforms. But as you know, on the network, we got to keep progressing to other programs. So you're fine on these lives. Around 8:30, we're going to bid farewell to those watching on the channel, but we're going to keep diving into our teaching. So let's dive a little bit, just to lay a little bit of groundwork in Revelation. And then all this week, we will continue to unpack again. And again, it almost feels like, well, we're moving into summer. It's a easy, breezy time. Let's forget about all of this. No, we're going to live ready, right?
Yeah.
We're going to live ready in every season. So an overview of the book of Revelation, the first three chapters are not prophecy, if you will, as the rest of it is. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation are letters that God gave John to the church.
Yes.
We would, if you're looking at the whole context of the book of Revelation as a prophetic book, we would consider this the church age.
Yes.
These are letters written to the churches in the church age. At some point in the end times, there is the rapture of the church where Jesus takes his church away. And then there are those who are left behind and remain here on the earth. If you've ever watched a Left Behind movie.
Mm-hmm. Well aware.
What
that may look like. Yeah.
But I would be amiss to say that there are different views on the rapture of the church.
When does that happen?
Yeah. So what are those three different views?
Well, the three different views are, you know, there's that pre-tribulation, there's a mid-tribulation, and a post-tribulation are the different views of, you know, when will the church be raptured out of here?
Yeah.
Will it happen, you know, before that tribulation period? Does it happen in the middle of the tribulation? Will we see some of it, or does it happen? Will we have to live through all of the tribulation and then, you know, the church is raptured out of here? So, you know, I belong to a social on Facebook, a group about the end times. And it's just, you can sit and go down rabbit holes for hours of just, you know, one person will just say, hey, you know, what's your opinion on when this is, you know, pre, mid, or post? And you'll just, hundreds and hundreds, and you could go for days of just, you know, you know, what do I believe and what do I feel? But yeah, so there's three different kind of viewpoints of, you know, how much will the church have to endure before God says enough? Will they endure nothing, some of it, or all of it?
Yeah. Dufitsky just said, yes, do we have oil in our lamp? That's right. And that's what this teaching is about, is about, as we're moving into summer, we're moving into vacation, we're moving into beach weather, right?
Yes.
Let's make sure we have oil. Yes, Jesus says, occupy until he comes. Take a vacation, live your life,
right?
but make sure you have oil in your lamp. Yes. Make sure you are
ready.
Ready.
Yes.
So as Jen said, those three camps. Now, me personally, mm-hmm. I am a pre-tribulation person.
Yes.
I believe that the church will be raptured before the Antichrist comes onto the scene. And we understand that in that there's a 7 years, 3.5 years are peace, mm-hmm. and then 3.5 years are war right. and destruction mm-hmm. and persecution. I personally believe that we are pre-tribulation,
yes.
that the church is taken up out mm-hmm. of here. Now, that mid-tribulation are people who believe, well, that we're here for the 3.5 years
of peace.
Of peace. Uh-huh. And then we are raptured out of
before
here.
Before it gets really bad. Yep.
Yeah, before it gets really bad. And then there are post-tribulation people who believe that we will be here to endure all of it. Now, you will find a lot of post-tribulation people, especially in the realm of the church, as I would call them preppers or uh-huh. end time. Let's prepare. Let's, yeah. you know, do all of that. Let's store up. Now, even though I am a pre-tribulation person, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any lack of wisdom
right.
in having some resource,
right? Yeah,
right?
Provision.
So,
yeah.
like my our friends over at the Jim Baker Show, we love Jim Baker and what they do there. You know, they offer through their partners these end time kits, if you will, that is freeze dried food, and mm-hmm. I've purchased them because mm-hmm. I figure, hey, whether it's a tornado, whether it's an earthquake, or
right.
whether I'm here at you know through it all, yeah. it's not a terrible thing.
Right.
You know, to have extra food yep. on hand because, or you know what, when COVID happened, just look at that season of
oh,
life.
Yeah.
I will never forget
yeah.
Sarah and I sitting at our house and we weren't taking COVID real serious.
Yeah,
it just was like, okay,
uh-huh.
I'll never forget my brother-in-law calling and saying, I just left the grocery store and there's nothing there. Do you remember that
I think
day?
I'll never forget. I was raking leaves and I had my ear pods in. I was raking leaves and I got a call and it was my sister. So her husband was calling you while she was calling me and she's saying, Jen, you got to get to the store. The lines, there's no milk, there's no eggs, there's no bread. And I, you know, I'm like, wait, why? And I, you know, I was just so oblivious to what was happening, you know, and just, I honestly, neither did I kind of take it seriously. Like,
yeah.
Oh, God.
But I ran out to the store. We have little children.
Okay.
And I ran out and I remember I came back with like Pop-Tarts and things like that. But Sarah was like, what are you doing? And I said, Sarah, you don't understand.
Yeah.
There was no meat.
Yeah.
There was like, this is what we had. And I remember then like a few days after driving like here locally mm-hmm. and no cars
yes.
on the road.
It was
and
almost,
that,
it was eerie.
That
was
eerie.
Yeah.
And again, this is like 2020, mm-hmm. you know, going into 2021. And you're just like, what
is happening?
What is happening?
Yeah.
So again, whether we're here pre, post, mid, whatever,
uh-huh.
I am of a personal belief that the Bible says that he who does not provide for his own house
yeah.
is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that it does not hurt
right.
to have canned goods and things
yeah.
stored, whether it's for the end days or whether it's for a disease that,
yes.
you know, brings, you know,
yeah.
I knew it. We had in our basement some of those Jim Baker
uh-huh.
buckets.
And so when it felt, when you started to feel fearful of, you know, I don't
it
have
was.
Milk, I don't have eggs, or I don't have this, you know, it was like, oh, you know, I've
yeah.
got some of that. I've got some
yeah.
provision. And
so they didn't ask me to plug this, but if you want those resources, you can go over to the Jim Baker Show and find all of those there. But so again, I'm not, you know, I would encourage people to do that. We are living in uneasy times.
Yes.
You know, we and this is not to bring fear
right.
at all.
Right.
But, you know, they talk about, you know, if they took out our electrical grid,
uh-huh.
what, you know, what America
mm-hmm.
would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, let's just be prepared for our families, but stay in faith.
Faith yes.
So
yes. stay
anyway.
In faith, stay in peace.
Yeah,
yes.
I am not a fear pusher.
No.
We do not
yeah.
live in fear. We don't respond in fear.
Yes.
And that is one of the reasons that I am pre-tribulation. The Bible says is that his wrath is not meant for his people.
Yeah.
But let me give you another big reason why I believe we are pre-tribulation is the church.
Mm-hmm.
If we open up the book of Revelation, which is our end time guide,
mm-hmm.
it is mentioned 18 times
yes.
in the book of Revelation, chapters 1-3.
Mm-hmm. Which is chapters 1-3. Like you said, it's actually to the church,
yep.
right? It's speaking about the church, about the different kinds of churches that you see
yep.
in those end times. So yeah,
and warnings to the churches
yes,
on
warnings,
how to,
yeah.
to live right.
And why would you warn the church about things if they weren't going to be here? during that time.
Right? Yeah. Yep. So the first three chapters are those letters to the churches. Mm-hmm. And then after chapter three, where we start moving into John's prophetic vision about the end days, the church is never mentioned again in Revelation until heaven. Actually, Revelation 4, verse 1 through 4, talks about this phrasing that John uses where it says, come up here,
right,
which to me is a picture of the rapture, yeah, come up here. Mm-hmm. So that's why I believe, because again, if you're looking at the whole book of Revelation as a prophetic book, mm-hmm, 18 times mm-hmm in the church age, the church is mentioned, it's all letters to the church, it's about the church, mm-hmm, church. And then suddenly, as soon as John moves into that prophetic, the Antichrist coming onto the mm-hmm scene, those prophetic end days, the church is not mentioned mm-hmm again.
Yes.
So me personally, that's why I believe when all of that stuff begins mm-hmm to happen, like I heard Pastor Rod Parson preach a message called The Antichrist, the greatest leader we will never know.
Right.
Because I believe we won't know right him, that we will be out of here before then.
And after those first few chapters in Revelation, you know, we also see, you know, and that's what can be confusing is, you know, we get a glimpse of what's happening in heaven, you know, and then we're at then all of a sudden it'll kind of switch tones. And then it's talking about what's happening on earth.
Yeah.
You know, so it's what's going on in heaven. We're there. And then at this, you know, what's happening here on earth. But like you said, the church isn't mentioned. So, and I also, you know, believe that, you know, it would be out of here.
Yeah.
Before any of that.
Yeah. No, I've seen churches be divided over this issue.
Yes.
I have seen brothers and sisters in Christ,
yes,
walk away from mm-hmm relationship with each other because one believes pre, post, uh-huh, mid, whatever. Mm-hmm. I have, my mom always used to say, as your faith is, there's a scripture that says, as your faith is, so be it
unto you.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? I'm not saying like, well, then if you're going to be here, then what, you know, but we're figuring it all out when we get right there. Some of us are right. Some of us are wrong. There are some things in scripture that I don't believe are heaven and hell
issues.
Right. And that I think we need to hold loosely. And I don't mean loosely like, oh, well, we just shift on every wind of doctrine, but I mean loosely in our interpretation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not gospel in leading people to salvation. It's not giving a license to people to sin. It is a prophetic book mm-hmm that is being interpreted to the best of our ability.
Right.
So whether we leave pre, mid, or post, here's what I believe. We'll figure it out when right we get there.
And either way, we're leaving. So yeah.
Either way, God is good.
Yes.
God is a protector.
Yes.
God will guide
he
us
provides
and lead us.
Yes.
So please never, if you are on a different side of the camp on these issues, never close off a brother or sister or go into arguments right over this stuff. It's prophetic. Uh-huh. It's we're all prophesying, the Bible says, through a glass dimly.
Yes.
We'll figure it out
right
when
right
it happens.
And I think what's even more important is, you know, not necessarily, you know, when it's going to happen or what that's going to look like, but like, you know, was it that Sue said, is we just need to make sure that we are ready.
Ready.
So all week long, as we visit, you know, different aspects of those end times, we talk about things, it's really about, are we ready? Are our lamps full? Are
yeah
we, you know, so it, and, you know, and to get out there and to get the gospel message, there are people that will not make it
yeah
to heaven. And if he were to come in 5 minutes from now, you know, that should be our soul's cry, is, you know, that you know, there are people that are not ready. I may be ready, but there are people in my own world and my family
yeah
that are not ready.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we want to bring that
yeah
to the table.
And that's that dichotomy, if you will, in the life of a believer, is though we long for his coming,
yes,
we can look at the world around
mm-hmm
us and say, but is my family ready?
Right.
Is my community ready?
Yes.
Are my friends ready?
Yes.
And if they're not, there's that piece of that says, well, then tarry longer,
yes,
Lord, wait longer.
Yes.
Well, help me get them ready. So there's that tension there. If
mm-hmm
we want him to come,
yes,
we want the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be out of this sin sick,
mm-hmm,
evil
dying
world.
Yes.
Yes. But we don't want people left behind.
Right.
So that's why, just in our last few minutes together today, I want us just to real quick, we're going to dive into some more prophetic events throughout this week, but look at two things that in the first three chapters, the letters to the churches, and there's so much in
yeah
there that we could unpack, but you know, we only have a few days to do this. So what the Lord is speaking to the churches on how they can live ready. And the first one is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." His warning to the church before the end days is return to your first love.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes. And it's, you know, it's igniting that passion, that desire for those things. You know, when I was first saved, it was like, you know, I couldn't, you know, I was just in the word, and you just had to, you know, absorb it and get in it and learn. And that craving was there. And it was just to learn and to grow. And, you know, the realization too, that, you know, I was lost and now I'm found. And so returning to that first love, it ignites that, you know, I want other people to experience this, you know, and keeping that, you know, that flame burning, and just, you know, like we talked about Sunday about Pentecost, is just keeping that in the forefront of how we live our lives and just, you know, burn for him. And you know, I don't want anyone to be lost or left, you know, and it does. And it also creates this boldness. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, you know, it was just about the season, and God was really speaking to me. And, you know, it developed this boldness in me, because I started to look around at the people that were close to me that I was doing life with, that, you know what, I don't know. Are they saved or are they not? But it gave me a boldness to just speak out and to, you know, to speak truth and revelation. And, you know, so, just that, but that having that passion and that burning. Yeah.
And really that part too was so good that, you know, she said about keeping that oil, and that's what that parable was about. It was about the coming of Jesus, the second coming. And there were half that were not ready. They were all believers. Mm-hmm. They're all waiting, but half were ready and half were not. And that's why Jesus is saying is return to that first love. Make sure your lamps are full and burning. And I think it's human, I don't know, our sinful human nature, but, you know, I relate to that. You know, when you get saved, you're Jesus. You want to live your life for him. But even when you look at relationships and you start dating somebody, and it's like, man, I would climb, you know, crawl across a desert to get to that person. Yeah. But then you move on in your relationship for a little, you know, years, and it's like, you didn't take out the trash. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
As I think it's human nature sometimes, and our sinful human nature, to become introverted, and it starts becoming about me, and that love of, I would cross a desert for you. Now I won't take out the trash for you.
Yeah. What are you going to do for me? Yeah.
Type of, and you know, but it, to make a marriage work, you have to continue to choose to fall back in love, to maintain in that space, because that's what makes successful relationships. And the same in our walk with God is sometimes we become so introverted, and it's about me, what is God doing for me, and about, you know, what I'm experiencing, and we lose that first love is, what is he saying and what does he want? Yeah. And God, send me to the four corners, whatever you want for me, I'll do. Yeah. And we lose that over time. Yes. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, listen, as the end approaches, make sure you have oil in your lamp. Yeah. Make sure you are in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. How do we do this? Some practical things. We can worship.
Yes.
Pray.
Yes.
Read your Bible. Mm-hmm. Go to church like never before.
Come on. Yes.
Actually, the Bible says that as the end approaches, do not forsake the assembling together. Mm-hmm. Love God, love people, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to learn to fall in love with Jesus all over again.
Yes.
And then the second thing that he warns the church is to remain faithful. Revelation 2, verse 9 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Yes. To be faithful to God in hard seasons, and not just in the good season.
Yeah.
Come on, that'll preach.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even during seasons of division and offense, or, you know, so-and-so doesn't have the same viewpoint as I have, you know, it's still remaining faithful, like you said, you know, and it's staying true to the heart of God, you know, and to the heart of the gospel message. Yeah. And it's not, you know, you don't believe like I believe, so away with you. You know, that's not what it is.
And there's such a divisive spirit in the earth today, more than ever before, that even, you know, if you look at cancel culture and just how the world would promote that, and you know, that somebody falls and you're just canceled for life. There's such a divisive spirit, and it's not just in the world, it's in the church. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, many will be offended. Mm-hmm. Like, he just give a, hey, just so you know, in the last days,
right.
that is a sign that yes. the spirit of offense, you can't say hardly anything.
Right.
And people are offended.
Right. You can't, I mean, even to speak truth. You know, it's one thing to have an opinion about something, but even to speak biblical truth, I mean,
So the workaround yeah. for truth is, well, my truth.
Yes.
And how my truth mm-hmm. is truth to me, yeah. and your truth is different than mine, but it's true. Well, again, I get it, but that's just people's way to say, well, I don't want to feel bad about myself, mm-hmm. and if I was wrong. So instead of just acknowledging that I was wrong,
right.
I'm going to say, well, that's my truth. But they're still black and white. They're still right. They're still wrong. Yes. They're still the word of God. There's you will never grow as a person mm-hmm. if you hide behind my truth.
Yeah. Right.
You grow when you realize here's the truth of the word of mm-hmm. God. Here's what it says.
Yes.
I got to fix me
right.
and I got to line up.
And this
it.
Has to become my truth.
Yes.
Amen.
So as we progress, listen, fight. With all of your might yes. to stay out of the spirit of offense.
Yes.
Run from it. Do everything you can to get away from it. Right. It is the spirit of offense, because I believe what the enemy wants is, as we've seen, that great evangelical, ex-evangelical movement, is he wants to separate people from the church.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because when you're
mm-hmm.
separated from the church,
right.
you will fall for every wind of
yes.
doctrine. There's no accountability. There's no life force. Mm-hmm. There's no... You know, one can put 1,000, two can put
yes.
10,000. When you get into crisis and you get mm-hmm. into major warfare, it's like, what battle strategy in the world? It, like, every commander would say, listen, if we can get them separated, mm-hmm. we can pluck them
mm-hmm.
off.
Oh, yeah.
They're stronger in numbers,
oh, yes.
right?
Yeah.
So, of course, the battle strategy of the enemy mm-hmm. in the end days, get them separated.
Yes.
And we will pluck them off
yep.
one by one.
Get them secluded, get them by themselves, get the division, the offense, you know, let it run rampant.
Yeah.
You know, and do you boo your own truth and your own, you know, interpretation
yeah.
and, you know, separate yourself and yeah, the
whole, yeah.
Or separate them because they don't believe like you believe. And yep.
Yeah. And that's why we utilize social media. We obviously believe in it. We,
mm-hmm.
we use it to go to the four corners of the world, but this will never take the place of your local church.
Yes.
I love we have an online community mm-hmm. here. I love that we're encouraging one another through our chats and our teachings
mm-hmm.
and our, I love it, but it will never take the place of community. Now, is any church 100% right?
Right.
Is there going to be church hurt? Yeah,
yep.
But I believe, I really do, that the scripture that says iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I am certainly not saying pastors who would be intentionally abusive to people or you know, are there sinful pastors? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But again, don't just categorize that in the church. You
right.
have sinful bankers, you
yes.
have sinful teachers,
you,
in every realm of society, there's always going to be bad apples.
Right.
But don't throw the whole church away
right,
because
right.
of a few bad apples. But it says iron sharpens iron. I believe that one of the reasons we need the church is for that buffering.
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
all right, I'm in disagreement with you.
Right.
So as believer to believer, mm-hmm. let's go to the word and figure out how
right.
to be better.
Yes.
Together,
yes.
not believer against unbeliever.
Come on.
We're supposed to do that within the life
mm-hmm.
of the church. And that doesn't happen if every time there's a disagreement, I don't like what the pastor said, I don't like whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'm out the doors.
Mm-hmm.
No, that happens when you do life
mm-hmm.
with people and you let iron sharpen.
And I think it's something to be said when, you know, I've gone through seasons where it's, you know, I needed, you know, a person. I needed to sit with somebody. I needed to feel, I needed a hug. I needed encouragement. I needed that skin, you know,
yeah.
if you will, of just, you know, doing life with someone and fellowship and mentoring and ministering. And, you know, you don't get that when you're just, you know, seclusive
yeah.
to your own self. And, you know, you're, you know, have an online community, but you just need that
yeah.
fellowship, that one-on-one.
And we've said this before here on the lives, but mm-hmm. a part of the problem is we have to learn to break that consumer mindset. Again, well, I'm not going to church. I'm not getting fed. Well, who said that you're supposed to be fed? Maybe there's somebody there who needs you.
Yes.
That if you're grown
uh-huh.
spiritually, that you can feed.
Yes.
Maybe your assignment that day isn't to feel goosebumps from worship, but is to pray for somebody,
right.
to minister to
mm-hmm.
somebody, to love on somebody,
mm-hmm.
to put your arms around their neck and encourage them.
Yes.
But when we have a consumer mindset, we approach church
yes.
as, well,
what is it going to do for
what,
me?
Yeah, what am I getting out of this? And as long as you live in that, you're always going to be disappointed.
Right, yes.
But when you live out of the gospel that says, I am sent to preach the gospel, we do that through our actions, through our words, through our deeds, whatever. So when you come with that, what am I here to give? What am I here to sow into somebody else's life? It's going to make a difference. So I know we're, it might seem like we're all over the place talking about returning your first love, talking about church life, talking about technology. This is what the warning of Jesus was to the church.
Yes.
Return to your first love. Yes. Stay in community.
Stay faithful.
Stay away from offense, mm-hmm. because it's going to get rough in the world.
Yes.
And you were going to need.
Yes.
You know, the amazing thing is after 9/11, I'll never forget those first services after that. Mm-hmm. Churches were packed.
Yes.
Why? Got scared and they ran back to God. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is churches exploded post-COVID.
Good.
Why? Because it's like we haven't seen anything
like this.
But what is sad, and this is why Jesus warned, is we move on from COVID, we move on from 9/11, and people's love grows cold again.
Yeah.
Keep your oil filled. Mm-hmm. Stay hot.
Yes.
Stay in love with Jesus.
Yes.
Keep serving his house. Keep serving the mission to advance the kingdom of God on earth.
Yes, and keep that fire. Keep it going. Keep the faithfulness. Get in the word. Get in your devotions. Stay connected to the church. Stay connected to God, obviously, and stay connected to the word, because he'll speak. When we see things that we don't understand, he'll speak through his word. He'll speak through the church. He'll speak, during fellowship with those in the church, bring encouragement, all of that. We need all of that.
Yeah.
This is not the time to just, close ourselves away and just, wait for the rapture to happen. We need to be ready. We need to be equipped. We need to be prepared to speak into the lives of people now more than ever before.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you to pray, Jen, in just a minute for those who would be watching or listening, that we would be able to return to our first loves and stay hot. But one of the things, again, that we also brought out in Sunday's sermon is the aspect of in every, whatever sphere of life we are in, whether we're a teacher or a homemaker or a banker or an accountant or whatever, we are called, the main call in our life is within that sphere to advance the kingdom of God.
That's good, yeah.
Is to push back the powers of darkness and advance the kingdom on earth. One of the reasons that I think our oil goes out in our lamps is we forget that. And then so we become, again, so inward focused, and our oil goes out. When you are actively advancing the kingdom of God, nobody has to pipe you up.
Yeah.
You know you are living on mission. You know what you're called to do. And it's not just while sitting behind a camera or standing on a platform. If you're a teacher in that classroom, you are called to advance the kingdom of God in those children's lives. If you're an accountant, with every number that you crunch and every person you come in contact with, you're advancing the kingdom, whatever sphere of life. So yes, we occupy until he comes, but we occupy by advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. Cheryl says, watching and ready, should he come today? Well, one of the things that I'm going to ask Jen to pray is the very end of Revelation.
Come on.
I cry almost every time I read it. And Cheryl just said that, watching and ready, should he come today. But the last books of the Bible, I love it. The last words, it says this, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Now, those are words in red. So they are the words of Jesus. And then the response, which isn't in red, is amen. Even so. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I love those words. Mm-hmm. They get me choked up every time, because it's Jesus saying, surely I am coming soon. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the church almost responding, John responding, but on behalf of us, says, amen. Even so, he says, I'm coming soon. And John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then he turns to us in 2025.
Yes.
And says, listen, the gospel is written. The gospel is done. Run with it.
Yes.
And until he comes, I get chills now talking about it. The grace of the Lord be with you all.
Come on.
And I love that, because he says, here it is. It's been written.
Yep.
The kingdom is in your hands.
Yes.
Run with it.
Yes. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
And he tells us, run with it.
Yeah. All right. So would you pray for us today, Jen?
Dearly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity just to come together and just to fellowship and just, you know, to have conversation. But Holy Spirit, we just ask right now that those that are watching this and today or even in the future, that right now you're just speaking to the hearts of those that maybe have felt fearful of the things that they've been seeing on the news, or they have found themselves growing cold in their faith and in their walk with God. That Holy Spirit, we know right now that you know all things. And so we know that you're just going to speak into those hearts that are just feeling troubled or lost or cold. They've lost the fire, that you just ignite, even now as we're talking, just igniting that passion, that desire of that first love of relationship with Jesus Christ. And and in that, it's just preparing our hearts and our minds and our words to just to speak into the hearts of those around us, to be a witness. Let our lives be a witness to everyone around us, and that we just desire that, you know what, I may have woken up this morning and my lamp is half full, or maybe it's empty, but this word that has gone forth is igniting that passion. Let me get back in the word. Let me find that love of my first love that I've lost. And in that, it's just going to touch the lives of the people around us, that we are prepared, we are ready, we're going after the lost, we're going after the hearts of those that need to hear this gospel message, that none would be lost, that none would be left behind, and that our faith would grow even in seasons of not knowing and the unknown, that you are a God that is faithful in and out of season. You have not changed. So we just speak that word into the hearts of the people in Jesus' name. And even so, come quickly. Come. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us today on the live. Thank you, Jenny, for being with us today. Yeah. It'll be a great week. Cheryl says, Sue Fitzke says, amen. Cheryl says, come Lord Jesus, come. Amen. So I try to read these because I know many of our viewers listen to us on podcasts and things like that. We like to be ready or communicate them so that they can know. So don't miss any of this series this week. It's going to be powerful. We're going to live ready, be ready for God. Well, be blessed. I'll see you tomorrow right here on Good Morning.